I think this started about 4 years back when we were doing some self-reflection. So we were asking those kind of strategic questions, like, what problem are we determined to solve in the world? Like, who do we want to help and who do we not want to help, right? So this is about audience and targeting and best fit members. And why is this important to us? So I remember it was a strategic planning session and we asked the question, it was kind of challenging for them. If ACD went away tomorrow, what would be missed and who would miss it?
This is Associations Thrive, the podcast celebrating successful associations and their leaders. I'm your host, Joanna Pineda, CEO and Chief Troublemaker at Matrix Group International. Listen in as top association executives tell all, revealing the creative and innovative ways they're increasing membership, generating revenue, nurturing engagement, and reimagining their organizations. By the way, if you've launched a new initiative, created new member services, or updated your governance structure and are seeing great results, I want to hear your story and so do my listeners. I'd love to have you as a guest. Go to podcast.matrixgroup.net and apply to be on Associations Thrive. Now let's dive into this week's show. Today, I'm speaking with Michael DeFrisco. He is Executive Director of the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry, or AACD. Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Joanna. It's so good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, Michael, tell us about AACD.
The Academy, we're dedicated to advancing excellence. We like to think of cosmetic dentistry as art and science, and it's comprehensive, and often it's restorative. But we encourage and educate to the highest standards of ethical conduct and responsible patient care, because at the end of the day, the end user that benefits from that education is the dental patient.
Hey, so Michael, what does it take to become a cosmetic dentist as opposed to, I guess, other types of dentistry?
Well, it's not a specialty like orthodontics or pediatrics or one of the other recognized specialties, but it absolutely takes a specific kind of education. Lots of hands-on, lots of understanding about materials and methods and techniques, because at the end of the day, form and function matter, right? You want to make sure that the patient has good oral health and good functioning. So it's not just about looking pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. So is cosmetic dentistry on the rise? Is it increasing in popularity, staying level? Where are we?
It's absolutely on the rise. It depends on how the industry is performing, and definitely the demand for cosmetic dentistry continues to grow. And it's becoming more, you know, everybody knows some of the names by their trade names like Invisalign and things like that. So short-term orthodontics, implants, of course, are a household term at this point. And so we're educating to those techniques and those treatments.
Hey, so I'll ask you one more question before we get into your journey. Why do cosmetic dentists need their own association? Because there is an American Dental Association.
Sure. So the general associations like the Academy of General Dentistry and ADA have a important function. They advocate for the industry. They do education, but it's more towards general dentistry. Aesthetic dentistry is pretty specific. So we're pretty niche-y. But again, the techniques, the treatments, the materials, the methods are pretty specific to cosmetic dentistry.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to talk about AACD in a bit. But before we do that, let's talk about your journey. So how do you get to become executive director of AACD?
Yeah. So when I think about that, it's kind of crazy because, you know, you move through new roles and you meet new people and there's different employers. Your surroundings are constantly changing. And when you look at it, it all seems like randomly happening and it seems jumbled. But then when you get to a certain point, I have only been executive director of AACD for about 4 months now. And I look back at my career it's like a whole new perspective. And I realized that all those complex puzzle pieces actually all fit together, that there was kind of an order in all that chaos. So it's like one experience, one new skill gain, one new exposure to something new led to the next opportunity. So in my case, like if I hadn't scored the job of creative director at Ducks Unlimited, I wouldn't have even known what a membership association was.
Ah.
If I hadn't had this further exposure to organizational leadership and governance in the world of associations at the Experimental Aircraft Association, where I went next, and then to AACD, I probably wouldn't have chased down my certified association designation executive. So it's kind of weird to look back and see that everything I did, from becoming a writer and an editor and learning about public relations, from doing things like public speaking and teaching people about strategy, I probably wouldn't have been considered for the role of executive director.
Michael, you've been at AACD for how long?
10 years total now. So mostly as the chief marketing officer.
Ah, okay. So you were there mostly as chief marketing officer. You've been ED for 4 months. What made you say, I'm ready for the chief exec job? How'd you get there mentally?
I think the biggest challenge for me was that I was used to doing marketing work. I was used to working with creative teams and working with writers and content people and publications people and getting the work done, actually being the one doing some of the work. And I think the biggest thing that I've had to adjust to is that my day-to-day activities, the things that I do, the things that keep me busy, are 180 degrees different from what they have been throughout my career. But thankfully, I had a wonderful mentor in the previous executive director, Barb Kahalski. She was not only a good mentor and coach, but she gave me visibility with the boards and with other opportunities with vendors and special projects, especially those dealing with strategic planning, that I think really helped me to elevate myself out of my day-to-day work and look at the organization and our members in a more strategic way.
So what kind of training and experiences do you think you've had to get or gain in order to become executive director? What's been important?
I think for me, it was serving on committees and the board of the Wisconsin Society of Association Executives.
Ah.
Really good for me to be on the other side of the board table and to understand not just how governance works and parliamentary procedure and those kinds of things, but just to have an understanding of how to work as a volunteer with the staff teams and, you know, understanding that, you know, the board governs and the staff manages and where the responsibilities lie. I thought that was really important. And like I said, I got tapped, gosh, this has got to be 15 years ago, to do some speaking and some writing and some presenting. And I think that really helped me too, career-wise.
Michael, let's turn to AACD. So how's membership? What's the membership environment like?
Our members are super passionate, and they really embrace the idea of aesthetic excellence. So we try to feed into that in order to create engagement and a feeling of belonging. I think relationships and community are very important to our members. That made it a little difficult in the pandemic years when we missed 2 annual conferences and we couldn't get together and we were relying on virtual means of maintaining or creating that sense of community. We did take a slip during the pandemic when we noticed that the membership really started to soften. People were making decisions about what was a priority to them. So we did see a softening of membership during that time. But thankfully, we're starting to see the numbers change a little bit and we're coming back.
Boy, that's really good to hear. So what are you doing differently to get the members to come back and to really make the case that they should be part of this organization?
Yeah, I think this started about 4 years back when we were doing some self-reflection. So we were asking those kind of strategic questions like, what problem are we determined to solve in the world? Like, who do we want to help and who do we not want to help, right? So this is about audience, the targeting of best fit members. And why is this important to us? So I remember it was a strategic plan, session with the two boards. We have two board of directors, one regular board that oversees the organization, and another board, the American Board of Cosmetic Dentistry, which oversees our credential. And we asked the question, it was kind of challenging for them, if ACD went away tomorrow, what would be missed and who would miss it?
Oh man, good questions.
It seems like it's so simple, right? But there was only one correct answer in our case. And it was accreditation would be missed, and our accredited members and those in the process of achieving their accreditation would miss it the most.
Ah.
It was kind of a critical turning point for us because we realized we can't be all things to all people, that we are indeed a niche organization. And if you didn't have a passion and a fire in your belly and this passion for lifelong learning, you probably are not a good fit for the AACD.
Mm.
So that was a little bit sobering because we realized, you know, maybe in the past, some of our member numbers were not accurate because these are tire kickers and people just passing through what we used to call checkbook members, right? But they really weren't engaged. They weren't attending our annual conference. They weren't consuming our offerings. They were valuable in that they provided their membership dues, but we really started to focus on best fit members, which are those dentists and laboratory technicians who can and will start the accreditation process. We realized and looked at the data and found out that the retention rate for an accredited member or even a member in the process of accreditation was much higher than a dental.
Oh.
So it's definitely more sticky once you've committed to that type of continuing education.
And Michael, what's the accreditation process look like? Is it a set of requirements? Is it education? Is it an exam? What does it look like?
It's kind of all three. So it starts with a written exam that goes through a psychometrician, and there's a written exam committee who oversees the questions and changes them every year. And when you pass that, you are kind of officially a member in the process of accreditation. Then as a dentist, you have to submit 5 case types and different things like, you know, missing tooth in the aesthetic zone or something like that. So it's both posterior and anterior aesthetics and different techniques that you have to submit. And your cases are evaluated by a committee of accredited members and fellows. And when you complete those 5 cases, you sit for an oral examination with questions and treatment planning and things like that. And if you pass that, you become accredited and are marched across the stage at our annual conference.
So what percentage of your members at this point are accredited?
Right now, it's between 10 and 11%. So again, it's a high bar and, you know, it's not for everybody. There are plenty of members who are satisfied to be, you know, a general member or a participating member without achieving accreditation. And that's fine too, but we do want more of our members to commit to taking that journey.
Well, it sounds like if you get more members to commit to becoming accredited, it's better for the organization because now they're going to be more engaged and they're going to be more loyal. But it also sounds like they're just going to be better cosmetic dentists. So it's good for the profession.
Correct. So I would say 2 things to that. The first thing, yes, for the patient, for the end user, it's about elevating our standards for better results, right? It's educating them to give their patient ethical, responsible aesthetics. But the other thing it does, I think it helps the whole industry the more members are accredited because kind of organically, they begin to become subject matter experts, which means they're tapped to educate and speak. And then they get tapped to write for clinical journals. They become mentors. So they become much more influencer-like, whether it's on social media or within the industry, they become our mouthpieces. So it's valuable for the industry and it's valuable for the academy to have those accredited members out there.
Michael, You're also doing some interesting and innovative education. You got something called the Aesthetic Skill Studio and something that I love called the Dental Dojo. So tell us about those.
So like I said, I've been in association world for a good chunk of my career. And one of the things that I noticed about associations is that we tend to be in a vacuum sometimes. Like, we're not really good, if we're honest, at innovation. And one of the things that we've been trying to do at AACB is to be more innovative, look across competitive organizations and see what other people are doing, and then put our own strengths to it. And so fairly recently, in fact, it was about a year ago at our annual conference, we launched a program that we're calling AACB Dental Dojo. And what it is intense mentoring. Mentoring is crucial to the accreditation process, and a collaborative community where the participants in the dojo, in that cohort, can learn from one another all year long. So they met when we were at our conference in Texas. They will meet again when we're in Maryland at the beginning of April. And in between, we scheduled different activities, virtual ones. They get together in small groups. They're learning about some new techniques and methods and photography and the things that are important to gaining your accreditation. And when we launched the dojo, we wanted 35 people in the cohort, and we ended up closing it out right there at that event. And the second cohort just opened up last week, and it's filling up already. So we're excited about that, because at the end of the day, it's about moving people, members that are in the process of accreditation, through that pipeline. We want to see them achieve this goal. So we want to help them do that.
Well, it also sounds like because they're in a cohort, that not only do they achieve accreditation, they've now got a community of people who went through the process with them. And that further binds them to the profession and to the association.
No, that's true. And I would not have thought that that was going to be an important component of this or aspect of this. But when we look at the testimonials that are coming out of this first cohort, that's absolutely a benefit for them.
Well, Michael, you've got your annual meeting coming up. What's new and different at the AACD annual meeting this year?
Well, we'll be celebrating our 40th anniversary. So back in 1984, the organization held its first scientific session in Las Vegas. So it's kind of exciting to be celebrating what we're calling our Ruby Jubilee. What we ended up doing this year, every other year, the Academy has done a State of the Cosmetic Dentistry Industry Survey. And it's an industry-wide survey, not just an internal AACB survey. And the results this past cycle showed us that about 52% of our members were getting ready in the next 4 or 5 years to retire.
Oh my God.
Yes, it was shocking. And so, of course, we shared that data with the board. But one of the things that we decided to do at our annual conference coming up here in April is we launched something that we're calling the AACD Practice Transitions and Business School. And it's an opportunity for the registrants, the attendees at the conference, to make appointments, private appointments in these private suites with 5 or 6 different practice transitions companies who might be able to better explain to them what their options are as they approach selling their practice, you know, consolidating practices or retiring. So we think that that's going to be something that our members will really value, because that's the life stage that they're in.
So hang on, let me make sure I understand this. So you found companies that help dental practices buy and sell. You invited them to be basically exhibitors or have private suites. And then you are allowing the members that might be thinking about transitioning to make private appointments.
That's exactly correct.
Wow. Fascinating. So what's been the result?
Well, we sold out with the practice transition companies very quickly. And now our job is to make sure that the attendees of the conference know that this is there for them. And we're making it visible on the mobile app with signage and things like that, so that they can, and other communications, of course, but we want to make sure that they take advantage of this if they are indeed thinking about these things.
So what you're basically saying to your membership is, will help you be great dentists, will help you develop a great practice. And then when it's time to sell or retire, we'll help you with that too.
We'll help you maximize your return on that lifetime of investment, yes.
Okay, so that's really interesting, but let's get back to the 52% that say they're retiring or selling in the next 4 years. What does that do to your membership and how do you get new members?
Yeah, so obviously member acquisition and especially attracting a younger, more diverse member is what we've been focused on for a number of years now. So we've really stepped up our industry awareness. We've shifted some of our dollars from consumer media relations to industry awareness. We're looking for more opportunities for our members to connect in smaller groups because, like I said, at least for me, I guess I had blinders on or something. To me, the community aspect of being a part of an association just didn't seem that necessary or beneficial, but it absolutely is for our members. And we're trying to do a better job of communicating value by showcasing these new offerings. You mentioned the Aesthetic Skills Studio. That was another new innovation. You know, the dental continuing education study club space is dominated by two or three really big, well-known names. And when leadership challenged us to say, how can we compete with these people? I mean, one of them has, I think, 230 different clubs around the country. I mean, it would have taken us years and a massive investment to try to integrate ourselves into that existing infrastructure. So we developed what we call the Aesthetic Skills Studio Hybrid Study Club, which basically pulls together some of our assets that we have. We've got accredited members who agreed to be coaches. So we're looking at it kind of like the equivalent of a yoga studio, right? So you're doing fun stuff virtually like in Peloton, but you're also doing some things live and there's some things that are recorded and you do it at your own pace. And that was another experience where when we launched ESS, very quickly it filled up and we had to start a second one.
Okay, so there's a couple of things going on here that I want to dive into. So this is kind of intense continuing education that your members are really looking for, but in a community environment. But you're also doing this to compete against for-profit organizations that are providing the same services.
Yes, we're in an interesting environment in that not only is cosmetic dentistry education ubiquitous, it's everywhere. I mean, even YouTube, right? You can now be educated there. But there are private educators, there are other associations and academies doing this. And even our own sponsors and exhibitors, many of them have education programs. So the competition is, I like to call it hyper-competitive, and we defined out how to stand out in that. And so that's where that focus on our primary differentiator, which is ACD accreditation, really comes into play.
Ah, I call it coopetition because these are entities that you have to be friends with because they're part of your ecosystem, but they also eat into some of your services. So you're also competing with them.
Absolutely. And the dynamic that we see is that nobody's exclusive. Like nobody joins AACD and nothing else. All our members are doing something else. They belong to a local affiliate or they go to a private education center or they join a local study club or they're all doing other things or going to other conferences. So we can't be selfish in that way to think that our members would only be loyal to us and only consume our offerings and benefits, but it does make it challenging to get that mind share.
So it sounds like by focusing on the accreditation, that's your key differentiator because you're saying become accredited, do better, and get the education to become accredited through AACD. So it all kind of works together.
It does. And one of the positioning constructs that I shared with leadership a few years back is the simplest positioning construct there is that I'm aware of is blank is the only blank that blanks, right? So AACD is the only aesthetic dental organization that has a credential.
Oh.
It's difficult to fill in those three blanks with anything else. And so that's what we're focused on. And you had asked about the state of the industry survey. I was talking about that a little earlier. One of the things we learn when we do that every 2 years is that accredited members earn quite a bit more than general members, who earn quite a bit more annually than a non-member. And so we're getting more comfortable with that data with prospective members and with the industry.
Wow. So hang on. So now you've got research that actually backs up the value of the accreditation.
Correct. It's actually tied to more fee-for-service work, which is the opposite of doing dentistry that you depend on insurance to pay for, and higher-end cosmetic cases, more restorative dentistry, more full mouth restorations. So, of course, the price point on something like that is going to be higher than getting a filling.
Michael, let me go back to something that you said. You said that you were working through this construct of blank is the only blank that does blank. And you came up with AACD is the only dental association that provides accreditation. This is so simple and yet so brilliant. Walk us through how this happened, that you were able to kind of come up with this insight.
Sure. Well, one of my, I'll call it a side hustle because that's the common term that I've been doing for almost 20 years now, is brand strategy. It's just something I did on the side because I thought it was fascinating. And so I've done a deep dive into branding and brand strategy, and I've done a lot of speaking and writing on that topic. And one of the precepts of that is when you're positioning your business, you're always positioning against the competition. So in a positioning exercise, we're trying to get at the truth about you well told. And so I have a number of exercises that I go through with clients and with organizations that I've worked for and represented. And one of the simplest constructs is that one that you just mentioned. Blank is the only blank that blanks. And it's the opportunity to say, in my category, I do this and no one else does it. And you should be able to say that. You know, we are in a Me Too society. You want to be, I mean, let's take dental practices, right? Dental practice has to look like this and the logo has to have a extracted tooth in it. That's the most common. It has to be blue. And the dental practices all smell the same and they operate the same. So how are you standing out? How are you helping the consumer make a choice about you versus that dentist down the street? And that's one of the ways we do it, the position.
Man, I am blown away by the simplicity and the brilliance of this. Michael, what are you looking forward to in 2024 with AACD?
You know, I'll tell you what's really exciting. We're starting to see momentum. And somebody asked me months before I took over the role of executive director, what are you going to do differently? And I thought, I don't know, because Barb was wonderful and she did a great job. She was there for 10 years, which is pretty amazing in the association world. But one of the things that I've noticed just recently is momentum and this idea of continuous innovation. It could be part of our culture, right? So it's generating excitement, not just inside our walls with the staff team, but with leadership, the boards and the committees. And I'm hoping that demonstrating and communicating that momentum will seep out to the membership so that they feel more connected to an organization that's not stale, that's not old fashioned, that's staying relevant and moves with the times. So I feel like that's kind of what I'm excited about, is focusing on positive movement, changes in programming and delivery, innovating new formats like the dojo and the aesthetic skills studio. It's all about creating new value for members. I think that's where our opportunity is to really be creative.
Wow, Michael, I want to thank you for joining me on the podcast today. Thank you for sharing everything that you did. I hope that you'll come back because I want to hear about all the next innovations that you're working on.
Sure, I'd love to be back, and I really appreciate you having me today.
Thanks for listening to Associations Thrive. We're so glad to have you here. You know, my personal mission and the mission of my company, Matrix Group International, is to help associations and nonprofits increase membership, generate revenue, and thrive in the digital space. I want to hear stories of how your organization is thriving in today's challenging landscape. Please apply to be on my show by going to podcast.matrixgroup.net. By the way, do you need help with a digital initiative? Maybe it's a website redesign, a new membership database, or a hybrid meeting that you're planning. I'd love to connect with you. Please visit the Matrix Group website at matrixgroup.net. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Associations Thrive. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star rating, post a comment, and share it with your colleagues and friends. Bye!